Welcome to Forming the Spirit Within, a teaching ministry of Pastor Brad Riley. Pastor Brad is an associate and teaching pastor at First Church of the Nazarene here in Wichita, Kansas. He is a founder and director of the Merciful Servants of Christ, as well as the author of numerous articles. And now, here's Pastor Brad.
Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? A reading from the Apostle Peter in his first letter. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. God bless you. May be seated. Good Friday. As you heard Pastor Larry say, it's a day we must not forget. In fact, it's what I like to call one of my touchstone days. Do you know what a touchstone is? It's a funny word, a touchstone. I've asked several people as I've been preparing this week for this message. I said, do you know what a touchstone is? And they kind of go, I kind of think so. I'm not sure. Is it a stone you touch? What's a touchstone? Well, you know what? It actually is a very important thing. It's something that its beginnings we have found back in the year 1530, that old, 1530, almost 600 years old. And in that time, the touchstone was an actual stone. It was something that was usually of quartz or jasper, something that, and when you took a piece of precious metal like gold and you rubbed it on the stone, you could tell if it was pure. Because if you knew you had pure gold, it would make a certain color when you rubbed it on the stone. So if you had another and you really weren't sure how true or pure it was, you would rub it and see if the color matched. The touchstone was something that revealed the genuineness of something. I thought about that in preparation for days like Good Friday, and here we are at the kind of the culmination of the season of Lent. We gathered in this very room on Ash Wednesday for another rather contemplative service to mark a touchstone in our life, to ask the Lord God to meet with us and to touch us in a way that would speak to us throughout this season of Lent, as we prepare our hearts for the miracle of Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we read the scripture together tonight, we were actually listening in to a conversation that the Apostle Peter was having with another church. He'd written that letter not to a specific church, but it was to the churches in general, and it was to be delivered and read by the churches, as many as it could make its rounds to. In that book, Peter begins to talk about the faith, and he talks about the genuineness of the faith. And in that passage we read, just the first chapter, verses 3 through 9, he seems to be saying that suffering is like a touchstone in our faith. And I thought about touchstones a little more, and I thought, you know, I looked it up in the dictionary, and sure enough, the first definition is that about that quartz or jasper and a stone that a jeweler would rub, and jewelers apparently still use them today. It's a quick and easy way to tell if something is genuine, if something's true and pure like gold. But yet at the same time, there's other definitions. It talks about something that is kind of a criterion. A criterion is something that kind of sets a standard. And then the third definition that it listed in the dictionary was, it seems the etymology of the word, you know, the use of the word in common language from its roots to today has really developed into something quite different. Today, the most common use of the word touchstone is not the stone at all. It's the idea that there is something that is fundamental and quintessential, is the word the dictionary uses, quintessential to be a part of something. Thought about that in relation to our faith. Why I love Good Friday. When I was a little boy, I had struggled with the concept of why the day that Jesus was crucified so horribly was called good. It seemed troubling to me. Why was this day good? Let's call it what it is. It was a horrible day. They beat Jesus. They killed him. But yet, as I matured in faith, I began to realize it's a good day. It's a good, good day. Because without his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, we would have no hope. We would have no life. And so the idea that there are days like Good Friday are quintessential. They're fundamental to our faith as Christians. And so we come tonight, we come together in worship together, I think in a way to kind of bring these two definitions. I want to bring them together for you tonight in a kind of a synthesis. And I sense that that's what the Apostle Peter was doing in this scripture. He seemed to be saying to the people there that suffering is a touchstone in life. You're going to suffer. He talks about going through various trials. And of course, vivid in their mind was the incredible suffering of Jesus Christ. And as he did that, he began to talk about the fact that this suffering is actually something that's going to reveal your true character. That's kind of what a touchstone does. It reveals the true character of that gold. And so, in a sense, our suffering is a way of bringing out our character. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says in verse 17, he says that we are heirs with Christ if we suffer with Christ. We don't want to forget that part. You see, the truth of the human experience is that we often suffer. Not to the extent Jesus did, but to horrible, tragic extent. And we see that happening in our world even yet today. The power of the touch. When I think about the touchstone and I think about the power of the touch, how scientifically it's been proven that everyone needs a touch. We need to be touched. You have little babies, you know, they need to be touched. It helps to nurture them. Husbands, wives, fathers and mothers and their children, we need to be touched. In fact, it was the hallmark of the early Christian people that they greeted one another with a holy kiss. And that was an embrace. It was a hug, usually to both sides of the cheek in the Middle Eastern custom. But the idea of the touch. We see Christ, when he ministered to people, often stopped to touch them. Especially the leper comes to our mind. A person who no one would touch. Leprosy was extremely contagious, still is. But Jesus took a moment to touch the leper. What that must have been like to feel the touch, not only of just another human being, but in that case, to be healed and to feel the touch of God. Wow. The touch is so important to us. It reveals who we are inside. It begins to develop who we are inside. In thinking about suffering and thinking about the agony of Jesus and the agony of His Spirit, I think it did it for Jesus as well. You see, in Jesus' humanity, He had to suffer. He was God, God made flesh. God come to earth to dwell among us, but yet He had to suffer. Being God didn't exempt Him from the suffering that is to all humanity. And in that agony, we remember His agony in the garden. Just last night, literally on Thursday night, is a night of remembrance when Jesus would have been in the garden praying before He was arrested. And in that, He prayed and sweat drops of blood. He agonized in spirit so much, but it was in that agony that His will, His inner character, the human side of Jesus, gave way to the will of the Father. And the truth is, in our lives today, there must come a certain amount of agony. And I know I don't have to remind you of that. Some people I'm probably talking to tonight have shared a great deal of agony in your life, and I'm sorry for that. I hurt for you, but it is common to humanity. It was common to our Lord Jesus Christ. And even as He was able to eventually surrender His will to the Father, so too, that's His goal for us. His goal for us through this touchstone we call suffering is to come through it as pure as gold. To come through it. And you think about gold, and when it's refined by a fire, it, at least, you know, the impurities come to the top, and the jeweler is able to skim off the impurities, and all that's left is pure gold. So fire, in that sense, consumes what it touches. But the Holy Spirit of God in the Old Testament is sometimes referred to as the refiner's fire. And that refiner's fire comes to our life in our suffering, in our agony, if we'll allow Him to. And He wants to come and purify us and refine us. I think that's one of the reasons, just one, I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus Christ, as God, had to come in human flesh. He didn't just stop the world. He didn't just proclaim from heaven, hey, I'm God, you're bad, you're out. He didn't just come down to earth, stand on the steps of the temple, and say, okay, the game is over, you're evil, you're gone, you're good, you're kind. No, He didn't do any of that, although He had all authority to do whatever He wanted to do. But from the beginning of time, from before time, Scripture tells us that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. It was always God's plan that Jesus would come to be like us, to come into creation, if you will, His creation, to participate with us in this life, in this agony, and to show us how to submit our hearts, to submit our lives, to submit our will to His so that we can be purified. In that sense, one of the most challenging things to the world of Christ in the first century was this idea that this world didn't really matter. Because they thought matter, the Greeks, you see, the Greeks thought matter. You know, that's in science, that's called stuff. You know, we're matter. This is matter. Everything is matter, you see. And in the world of the Greeks and their philosophy, matter was evil. All that mattered was the spirit, the spiritual world. But you see, Christ came into this world. Christ took on human matter because matter matters. God came to show us. Jesus says in the book of Revelation, He says, behold, I have come to make all things new. And that means even the things of our world today, we're in a little while going to celebrate a sacrament. And in that we touch. It's a touchstone for us. Sacrament is like a touchstone. It's something that we come to, and in it, what's inside us is revealed. Hopefully, it's the will of God that is revealed within us. As we think about these touchstones, I want to relate a few that have just been very important in my life. I've already told you Good Friday, Ash Wednesday, Christmas, Easter. These high holy days, these are very important touchstones to me. But there are many touchstones, and I want to share a few with you. I have pictures of them that I brought along. These are touchstones in my life that have meant a great deal to me. Let's look at them. That is the Sea of Galilee. The last time I was there in January, I got up early before dawn and snuck down to the seashore because I wanted to touch the water that Jesus walked on. It was a real touchstone in my life. Let's go to the next one there. When you go into Jerusalem and when you near the Temple Mount, you actually go down into a tunnel and they take you down to what was street level in Jesus' day. And that was our group as we stood on the very pavement stones that Jesus stood on, that he walked on as he walked into Jerusalem. That was a touchstone moment. We were touched. We touched it. It touched us, and we were changed. And then later on in the time, we go to the next slide. We were wandering through the streets of Jerusalem, and there you just turn a corner, and here's this massive doorway, these two arches you see. This massive doorway to this massive building, which is really what is called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. There's a great amount of history in this one building, one church. This is a massive place. And I want to give you a feel for it, so I want to go to the next slide and let's just look. See that? You see both of those domes? Those are both part of that one church. And all that building around, it covers a massive amount of area. But it's what's inside. That's an amazing touchstone. Let's look at the next screen. I want to show you why this is so amazing. Now, thank you to the few people that gave me a pointer. See, last time I preached, I didn't have one of these. But now I do. Now I have three of them. Thank you very much. So I grabbed the one that was nearest to me. Inside this building, you come in to this entrance. This is where those great, massive doors were. And when you come in, there is three things that are of great importance inside this church. One is it is believed in the ancient way to be the place where Calvary was. And that's over in this part of the building. And over here is considered the tomb where Jesus, in this part of the building, was laid and buried. And right here in the front as you come in is a stone laid on the floor. It's a touchstone. It's a stone that they would have taken Jesus' body down from the cross and washed the bodies on. Now, if you go to the next slide, I want you to see a little bit more how this massive, what it would have looked like in Jesus' day. So we've superimposed the building, this massive structure, over what it was to give you an idea, because street level was certainly different back then. And here, you can see there was a hill that would have been called Calvary, and over here is where the tomb, which was in a garden, as you can kind of see by this here, tells us in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus was laid in a tomb nearby. Here were the city wall at that time. Jesus, it says in the book of Hebrews, suffered outside the gate. This was outside the city wall at the time. And here would have been the mount on which they placed the cross. Now, how do we know this is the place? We don't know exactly. But the ancient tradition says since the year 325, this is the place. But even if it's not, it's such a touchstone for us. When you go to the next slide, this is, you can't probably see it very well, but this is there's a stone right here laid under glass, and this is an altar. When you went into the building, can you go backwards? Can you go back to the last slide? I want to show them something. Okay. In this, when you enter, the front doors would have been right here. You had to climb a winding staircase to get up. You were climbing Mount Calvary. And when you got up inside the church in that upper level, now I go to the next slide. Right there, on the next slide, these are large boulders looking down through a glass floor, believed to have been boulders that would have held the cross into the ground and kept it sturdy. So what a touchstone moment to be where Christ's cross would have stood, perhaps. Now the next slide. Now, this is the slab I mentioned to you. You see people bending down to touch it. When they took the body off the cross, it was bloody. It needed to be cleaned. It needed to be prepared for burial. So again, another touchstone moment. I give you those because those are incredible times, and I know some of you have been there too. But then when I came home from the trip, I sat down in my office and I looked on, when I sit at my desk and I look, there is a cross beside the bookcases. Some of you have been in the office may not have noticed it because it's over beside a bookcase. And it's this cross right here. And I began to sit back and think about what I just experienced standing there at Golgotha, Calvary. Thinking about his bloody body laid on those very stones, perhaps. And thinking about how they would have had to come and taken this cross of thorns. This is real. These are real thorns. This is what it was made out of. And they hurt. Every time I move this cross, every time I pick it up or maybe rehang it, I'm constantly sticking myself. And I can't even imagine having that forced onto my head after I've already been beaten to death like Jesus was. What a touchstone moment. This was given to me by my sweet mother-in-law, Beverly Dagg. When I entered the Christian ministry, this was given to me. It's hung in every office I've ever had, and it will until I die. And tonight I wanted to bring it to this service. I wanted to bring it for a reason. Because it's a touchstone for me. And I want it to be a touchstone for you as well. And I'm going to bring this and I'm going to lay it down on this altar. And in a little bit, just a few minutes, Pastor Brent is going to come. He's going to lead us. He's going to lead us in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And as you come forward to one of these three stations, you're welcome. You're welcome to come by and just touch that cross. Maybe touch a thorn. Get a feel for what it must have been like to have that forced onto your head. And all the agony and the pain that he was in. You see, touchstones are very important. We must never lose sight of what a touchstone is. We need touchstones in our lives. And perhaps the greatest touchstone of all is the touchstone of the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Because God didn't just give us pieces of wood and pieces of rock and crowns of thorn. He gave us his body. He gave us his blood. And each time we come forward in this incredible mystery, we can touch him and he can touch us. In a way we can't really explain. It's holy. It's mysterious. But it's pure. And it's good. And it's to that we want to remember tonight. It's because of this broken body. It's because of his shed blood that we're able to gather and have hope in our hearts, knowing that whatever agony we're in, whatever suffering you're walking through, there is hope. And that hope is realized on Easter Sunday when, thanks be to God, the grave couldn't hold him anymore and Jesus rose from the dead. You see, the truth is, it's not just about Easter, because before there was Easter, there had to be Good Friday. You see, before there can be life, there has to be death. Before there can be hope, there has to be pain. And I want you to know that all of that hope and all of that life, all of that is real, and it's here. It's here to touch you tonight in the very touchstones God has given us. Let us pray. Father, in the next few moments, we gather around your holy table. The table of the Lord is a touchstone. And Father, we pray that as we come, that you would open our hearts, let your blood flow, and let your body nourish us, that we might find strength and grace in our time of need. Because we remember today your suffering. We remember your sacrifice. And we remember
and we will continue to remember until you come again in glory. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. Would you look at the screens as Pastor comes to prepare our hearts with the video to help us prepare?
This has been Forming the Spirit Within. I'm Roger Culver, inviting you to tune in next time as Pastor Brad opens God's Word, helping us to form the Holy Spirit within us. Until then, may grace and peace be with you.